streets of gold is your talk with all the saints of old of how God worked in and through their lives. I can't wait to bow at Jesus' feet. He's the one who set my poor heart free so I could live with him eternally.
Be a great day, amen. Get to stand before the Lord, tell him thank you for everything he's done for us. Well, it's gonna be tough to preach after the boys lost again. Pretty sure this is why God put that the ladies are supposed to keep silent in the Bible, so that we wouldn't lose all the time. Good job, ladies. Bit more passion, gentlemen, and you might have had it. You gave them a run for the money this year. Good effort. It's good to see young people study the Word of God, and even if it is just for a little quiz, it's good. Some of that stuff will stick with you. And we're very thankful for that's why we do, or why it's done, I'm sure. And it's not just for contests, but that you might engage in the study of the Word of God. And wonderful music today. Appreciated Broken and Spilled Out this morning, I believe is what it was. Is that right? And that was a wonderful song this morning. And then the ladies group that just sang. And then I love the song Come Thou Fount. And that's one of the best arrangements I've ever heard. And very, very blessed by the music today. Blessed by your attitude and the spirit that you have. I was watching during lunch as I was stuffing my face. I was watching others stuff their face. And that was good food, amen. I was watching you and just the joy that you have and the spirit that you have as young people. Not a lot of people have that. Not a lot of people have a lot of, they don't have a good time like that. And there's a lot of consequences to good times that the world has, rather. And so watching you have a good time and watching you enjoy each other's fellowship is just a blessing to my heart and very thankful for it. And I'd ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Very thankful for the opportunity to get to preach and hopefully be used of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Just going to read one verse, verse 13. Bible says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that findeth understanding. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, and the privilege that we have once again to be in your house. I do ask you, Lord, that you would have your will and your way this afternoon. That, Father, your hand would be upon our hearts and our lives. And there's going to be many things to distract us. I pray that, Lord, you would have the liberty this afternoon to touch hearts and lives and that we would allow you to do the work in us that you intend to do. And I pray that these young people would leave here having resolve, Lord, to give their last full measure of devotion to you. Lord, that they truly would be sold out. We need young people today who love you above themselves and above other people. They just love you. And Lord, they're willing to serve you with their life. I pray, Lord, that you would just have your will and your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking at the pamphlet that was, or the book that was given to you as you walked in, and it says, "For sale by owner, my life." And I know Brother Scott touched on it already, but you're going to, I mean, that's what you're ultimately faced with every day. And we said that earlier this morning, and Brother Nelson said it this morning as well, that, you know, our lives are constantly being attacked. Our lives are constantly being aggressively attacked. The enemy, listen, the enemy hates God. And if you're a child of God, that means he hates you. And he wants to see nothing more. There's nothing more than that he wants to see. If he's lost your soul, he knows he can't win, but he can damage God's name by the way you live your life or the way he can tempt you to live your life. And we don't give him enough credit, and I'm not here to give place to the devil. I don't like that guy any more than you do. But he's a real adversary. He's for real. He's not playing games. We tend to play games with our life. Young people tend to play games with their life. I played games with my life, and I wound up losing. And I live with things today that I wish I didn't have to live with. But they are what they are, and praise the Lord, I'm a sinner saved by grace just like anybody else. But your life is a battleground. You just know that. Your mind is a battleground, and the enemy wants control of it. If you and I, if our life is for sale, like this says, for sale by owner, then you and I are going to have some wisdom in who we're going to sell it to. Amen? I mean, we know this. Listen, I know, and I don't want to get out of line with this. Obviously, if you're saved, you've been bought with a price. I understand that. But how we live our life, that's for sale. Because even though you're saved, you can still live your life for the wrong person.
That's right.
You can still live your life for the wrong people. Because you can live your life for your parents and be wrong. You can live your life for your boyfriend or girlfriend and be really wrong.
Yeah.
You can live your life for your friends and be wrong. And I was looking downstairs at all the stuff that was on the table. You can live your life for football and basketball and soccer. Not sure why anybody would want to do that, but you could live your life for soccer or baseball, and you could live your life for video games, and you can live your life for social media, and you can live your life for all of those things. But here's the reality: none of that stuff matters. None of that stuff. Look, I played basketball. It was like the thing. I lived for basketball. I started when I was in eighth grade. I played varsity ball. I was all about playing basketball. I wanted to play ball. That's what I wanted to do. But I knew in my own mind I wasn't going anywhere with that. I wasn't going to the NBA. I couldn't jump. I wasn't fast. I just, there's a lot of things that held me back, you know. But I wanted to play. It was important to me. And here's the thing. I would play basketball 7, 8, 9, 10, even sometimes 12 hours a day. I devoted my summers to playing basketball. And here's the reality. I wish every day I could have those hundreds of hours I spent from 8th grade to senior and a few years in college. I wish I could bring them back, that I could devote them to something like playing the piano.
Yeah.
You would play the piano? Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Over basketball? You betcha. Play the violin. I love the violin. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things right now as a 35, 6-year-old man that I would... Don't laugh. You're going to get there. Just keep breathing. Gonna happen to y'all. Where was I with this? All right, you guys got me distracted. There's gonna be a lot of things in your life. Like, there's a lot of things in my life that I wish I could go back and fix. Just like was said earlier, I wish I could devote more of my time. I can't, and that's just the way life is. That's why it's important for you right now, as Brother Nelson said this morning, to listen to people who've been there and who've walked that road. And I know what some of you are thinking. Here he goes again. Blah 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 blah. I guess the guy would shut up. I know what it's like to sit in that pew and to hear other people say that. And you don't want to hear it because you just want to, as the skit said, you just want to do your own thing for now. There'll be plenty of time for us to be dedicated in the future. Let me just tell you, when you're 15 and you choose not to be dedicated, probably by the age of 25, you're not going to choose to be dedicated. And then you're 30 years old, and so before you know it, you go, whoa, where did all the time go? Our life is for sale. Whether we're saved or not, our life is for sale. And you are the one who determines who gets to have the purchasing. I don't know if that makes sense or not. The value of your life will be determined by who you give it to.
Yes. Amen.
Now, some houses, when a person buys them, there's tremendous value. But over time, they don't take care of it, and they don't do what they're supposed to do with it in the house, and the value of the house gets run down, doesn't it? And so when they try to sell it, the house isn't as valuable as it used to be. And you and I need to understand this, that we only have so much time. Our life's a vapor. It's here 1 second, and then it's gone the next. In the course of the last year, the 3 years that I've been down in Cuba, we've lost an 80-year-old man and a 3-day-old baby. It happens just like this. Your life is that fast. Look, it wasn't too long ago in my own mind that I was sitting right where you were. It just happened so fast. And you guys, listen, you have, as Brother Nelson said, I envy the fact that you have the opportunity to do this right.
Amen.
You have a real chance to make a life impact. Look, I understand there's not a lot of glit and glamour. I almost said grammar. I hate grammar. There's a glit and glamour. There's not a lot to the Christian life. I'm just going to be honest with you. You're not going to be in the newspaper. People aren't going to come up to you and go, hey, you're just a great guy. It's just there's not a lot of popularity in it. I don't know if, I know you're like, whoa, aren't you supposed to be encouraging us into the ministry, not discouraging? Yeah, I'm just trying to be real with you. I don't want to lie to you. Okay. It's not always easy. And as I said earlier, it's not always peaches and cream. I went with something I knew instead of flowers. I went with peaches and cream. There's not a lot of glamour in this, but listen, here's the thing that you and I, as was stated early this morning, you and I have got to make a choice. We've got to decide who we're going to sell out to.
Right.
We're either going to sell out to God or we're going to sell God out.
Right. Amen.
One of those two things is going to happen in your life. Understand this, young people, there's no middle ground here. There's no middle ground. God said it several times in Scripture. He said, look, I like hot. Obviously, He wants us to be hot, fervent. He doesn't want us to be cold, but He would take cold over somebody who's straddling the fence. He doesn't want lukewarm.
Right.
He wants us to be sold out, and you're either going to sell out to God or you're going to sell God out.
Right.
Proverbs chapter 3 talks about values, things that are valuable to us. And I was, like I said earlier, I was looking downstairs on the tables, and I saw video games, and I saw footballs and baseballs and soccer ball, and I saw a toy gun down there, and I saw CDs and movies, and I saw all of these things. Someone brought a sign to me as I was Googling on my phone, and it said something about being addicted to social media, and I was like, yeah, I was looking up a statistic, and I'm not addicted to social media, I'm not. No, and I was Googling something, and I Googled how much time teens spend on their phones. I never thought about it before till today. 7.5, now this is 2010, 7.5 hours a day. 60 times a day, typical teenagers will check their Facebook, text, or listen to music on their phones. 7.5 hours. Teenagers, you realize you could be doing something real productive with your life in 7.5 hours, like working. He said work. Get a job. If you got 7.5 hours, make some money. You know, help out here. Come on. You have so much time on here. 7.5 hours. Now, let me ask you this. Let's just break that down since we're in a group of young Christian teenagers here. Let's just pretend like it's 3 hours for the average of this group. I asked some folks around. Some of us don't even have cell phones. And to you, I applaud. Good for you. I don't know how old he was. He's a young man, but he's probably 14 or 15 at least, and he doesn't have a cell phone. I'm thankful for that.
That's right.
That's in today's world, he's like 10 years behind. It's true. It's sad, but true. I applaud that because here's the problem. How many of us spend as much time in our Bible as we do on our cell phones? Well, preacher, I don't have a cell phone. How about your tablet or your gaming system or the television or the activities at school? I'm too tired to go to church, but I'll give up at 4 o'clock to go to football practice. Whether it's European football or American football. Baseball or whatever. How many of us have, we spend that much amount of time doing things that we enjoy, but not as much, I enjoy reading the Bible. Well, then how come it's so very hard for us to devote the time to read our Bible? See, there are some things in life that are valuable, and then there's some things in life that are not valuable. The trick is trying to figure out which one's more valuable. Now, all of us in here would say the Word of God's more valuable, right? Wouldn't you say that? I would say that. If you ask, preacher, what's the most valuable thing you have? I'd say the Word of God, because that's what I'm expected to say. But what I devote my time to, that will tell you what's valuable to me. When I was a youth director, teenagers say, Pastor, Brother Bell, Brother Jason, you know, I'm devoted to the Lord. And I'd say, great, how come we didn't see you Sunday night? Well, I had football practice, you know, it was midnight madness, and it's the first game, you know, practice, and I can't miss it. All right, so you skip church to go to football practice, is that correct? Yes, but you're devoted to God. Yeah, I'm devoted to God. Now, to a teenager, that makes sense. To me, I'm going, can I slap you? Look, and again, it's just about what we put our value on. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question before we really get into this. How much time do you devote to other things? How much time, what's the thing that you devote more time to in your life? The most time to in your life? More than likely, I'm willing to say it's 50% of us spend more time doing something else than we do engaged in any type of reading our Bible, praying, going to church. I figured this up one time. There's like 130 hours in a week, and I know I'm going off the top of my head here. And I said this, if we gave 10% of our time to God, it'd be 16 hours a week. And we failed to give Him, some of us failed to give Him at least 4. That's just going to church, let alone our Bible reading, which would be an hour every day, and praying. You don't even make it to 16 at that point. That's 11, at 12 at best. Are you with me this morning? There are a lot of things that are valuable in our life. And one of the things that you and I have to determine is what's going to be the most valuable thing in our life. And the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible indicates to us, he says this, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And so here's what we find. Why are we in pursuit of things like Facebook? And why are we in pursuit in things like social media and video games and sports activities? Why are we in pursuit of those things as young people? What profit do they bring to us? What profit is it for me to sit on my couch and text my BFF for 24 hours? What value is there in that? What kind of a friendship is it when you text more than you talk? Where's the value in that? Relationships. Now, condone. Mercy. I do not condone relationships in high school. I didn't when I was youth director. I don't now. It's a big waste of time. Just wait. It'll happen. Okay? Someone will feel sorry for you soon enough. It'll be there. Okay? And look, what kind of a relationship when you're texting to this person instead of actually building a relationship with them? What kind of time are you wasting when you put more of us in football, which you'll probably never take to the next level, instead of spending time with Christian friends who are going to edify you and build you up? Why do we pursue that stuff? Because we think it's going to make us happy. We think that without our cell phones, without our tablets, without our Facebook friends, without our high school buddies, without all those things, that we're just going to be miserable people. Because what's left after that? I mean, I liked people at church, but, you know, some of them are kind of weird. Yeah, because you're normal. What is normal? I mean, the point I'm trying to make is we spend and waste a lot of time pursuing all these things that have no real value. And the Bible says this, that happiness does not come from, happiness comes from placing your priorities in the right place. You and young people, I don't think it's ever too young for you, too early for young people. Wow. My brain's going on retirement here in a second. It's never too early for us, you, to begin to learn the value of things. One of the things that I appreciated about my grandparents was, my grandpa especially, was he taught me the value of hard work, and he taught me the value of things. My grandmother was from Germany. She was born and raised there. She was like 4 or 5, raised during World War II. She met Hitler, all those things. She knows the value of having things. They taught me how to value things, and not just appreciate things, but to put them in their right place. My grandma used to say, Jason, things aren't everything. Family is important. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And she taught values. She taught us values, my sister and I, these values. And here's what you and I need to understand, that our life has value to God. And it can have a tremendous amount of value. But you have to value the right things. He says in verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Well, what's he talking? Who's it? What is it? And he's talking about wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and understanding. Here's what he says, that the value, the gain of wisdom, and the gain of understanding, they are tremendously valuable. That you can use wisdom and you can use understanding as you move through life. Now listen, here's what you and I have to understand about wisdom. Wisdom is the most valuable commodity a believer can possess. After you get saved, wisdom is a very valuable commodity. And I use the word commodity on purpose because the Bible uses commodities. It uses, listen to what it says. It says, for the merchandise of it, the value and the gain of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So far above riches, far above wealth, far above gold and silver and rubies, God says that wisdom is the most precious, or wisdom is the most valuable thing that you and I can possess. Now, I asked a bunch of young people. Some gave me clear answers. Some kind of knew I was looking for the right answer. But I got some. I asked some folks, if you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? Some of you are going, oh no, please don't say my answer. One was land. Not a bad thing to ask. One was tank. I can see how that could come in handy. At least it'd be fun. Yeah. Some asked for salvation of family members. Some asked for dad to come home, relatives to be saved, and a long life. Not bad answers for young people, but I imagine they knew what I was looking for. One young person actually said wisdom. And said, I've always thought if someone was going to ask me that question, I'd answer wisdom. I think that's a good answer. Yeah. I think it's a good answer. I don't think many of these salvation of friends, or salvation of family members, relatives to be saved, dad could be home. I don't think those are bad things. But wisdom is the most important thing. And as you and I try to live for God, and as we live for the Lord, and you as teenagers try to navigate this world at such a young age, and you're faced with some of the things that we've talked about this morning, the one thing you're going to need more than anything is wisdom. And you have to understand the value of wisdom. First of all, you can't compare wisdom to anything else. The Bible says that very clearly at the bottom. All that canst desire are not to be compared under her. Now I want you to think about how God, the illustration that God uses here in Scripture. He says, for the gain of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, how many of you would like to have a chunk of gold today? If I said to you, I'm going to, as everybody leaves the building today, I'm going to give you a brick of gold. How many of you would refuse that as you walked out?
I'll take theirs.
You'll take theirs? Amen. Well, if I had that many bricks of gold, you wouldn't be getting one. So I'm just saying. But we put a lot of value on that, right? And you, no one would go, no, I don't want that. All of us would go, yeah, give that to me. Like, thank you very much. Why? Because there's value in it. We can do something with it. And silver's not as valuable as gold, but silver is valuable nonetheless. But and rubies. How many of you girls like rubies? Yeah, all right. Rubies or diamonds or sapphires or emeralds or there's 100 of them, I know, but there's a lot of valuable gems out there. And here's what God has to say. All of those things are valuable to an earthly standpoint, but they're not valuable when it comes to wisdom. They don't even compare when it comes to wisdom. Why? Because those things they will not last for eternity. And they have no value in eternity, you understand? God doesn't look at that and go, well, great, they have, you know, they're billionaires, and that's valuable for me in eternity. Now, it can be used for God, I understand that. But what God wants us to understand is that wisdom is the most valuable thing. So, he says here in verse, as he goes on, first, it can't be compared to any other desire person. Look, the thing that you need to desire is not to have friends. The thing that you need to desire is not to have relationships, is not to have popularity, is not to have all of these things. The first desire that you should have is to want the gain of and the profitability of wisdom. And it can't be. It's the most valuable thing that a person can have. Now, here's what wisdom does for you. Look at verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So the first thing that wisdom does for you is that it brings contentment in the material things of life. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with having things. Everybody understand? Say amen or nod your head or do something. There's nothing wrong with having things. It's the pursuit of those things that makes it wrong. We talked about that earlier. Look, there's nothing wrong with playing football as long as it's not your pursuit. There's nothing wrong with playing baseball as long as it's not your pursuit. There's nothing wrong with video games, some video games, but they can get out of control. There's nothing wrong with those things as they are in most cases. But when they become the pursuit of our life or the focus of our life, they've now taken over and they are now leading us in a direction that God is not for. Right. And it takes some real wisdom to understand these young ladies and young men that did this skit. It takes some real wisdom in that moment to be able to say, no, listen, I appreciate you inviting me, but you know and I know that I don't do that. And so I'm going to go to church tonight. I wish you'd come with me. Amen. It takes some wisdom because our natural inclination is to go, okay, simply because we're not possessing the wisdom at that moment to make the right choice. So you and I should want wisdom. We should want the pursuit of wisdom. And it goes on to say this again, that it brings, when we talk about material things, it brings contentment when you and I are engaged in the pursuit of wisdom and we are engaged in the learning of the Word of God, that you and I will be content with what God has provided and where God has us in life. Everybody know who Donald Trump is? Most people know who he is, unfortunately. Donald Trump is one of the richest men in the world, and he's been bankrupt like 24 times. And he says all the time, I can never have enough money. Because that stuff doesn't satisfy. That stuff doesn't bring contentment. All the friends and all that other stuff, it's not nearly as valuable as we think it is. All right, moving on, verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths our peace. Not only does it give us contentment with the material things of life, but it gives you contentment with where God has you in life. Look at what it says here. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Listen, when you possess wisdom, and you have wisdom to guide you and direct you, it brings pleasantness, and it brings you down the path of peace. You know why you and I have turmoil in our life most of the time? Or why you'll have more turmoil as life goes on, most of the time it's because we didn't act with wisdom. Most of the time we acted off of impulse instead of using our brains. For instance, when you turn 16, some of you, you're going to want a car. And you're going to save some money, hopefully, and you're going to want to buy a car, and you're going to go down to the car dealer, and the dealer's going to try to buy you a car you can't afford. But because it's cool, you're going to buy it, and now you're in real trouble. Now, I know this. You might say, this is petty stuff, Brother Bill. Okay, so be it. But a lot of us buy off of impulse. A lot of us do things off of impulse. Instead of stopping to think and use the brain that God has given us and use wisdom from what we know from the Word of God, we just impulse We just do. We just respond. And I believe Paul called it acting like an animal instead of acting like a human being. We just respond instead of thinking about what God wants us to do. And listen, young people, you're young. I understand that. But you don't have to be impulsive.
Right.
You don't have to give in to the appetites of the world. You can choose to use your brain, and you can choose to use the things that God is teaching you in your youth departments and churches, and you can stay away from the things that God tells us to stay away from. And here's what it says, that when we use wisdom, when that young lady had to choose between going with that group of friends or the friend that she was just talking to, she had to use wisdom. That's the idea there that they were displaying, that she had to use wisdom in her ways. And I'm telling you that if you're faced with this stuff, and when we're faced with choices such as going to a party or where there's going to be drinking and other activities going on that are ungodly, as opposed to church. Think about this. You can go to church, have a great time, and wake up tomorrow and remember what you did.
Amen.
And there'll be no consequences.
Yep.
Okay, that's not true. There will be consequences. The consequence might be you might get your heart right with God. The consequence might be you might just get saved. The consequence might be that you develop relationships that matter and mean something, and it's iron sharpening iron. There's the consequence where this one could end in disaster.
Yep.
And if you just had a little bit of wisdom, if you just applied what you knew from the Word of God and yet you've learned from the Word of God, you could have stayed away from that mess instead of destroying your life. There's many of us in here this morning who wish we could go back and choose differently. It hangs with you for a lifetime. That enemy will beat you over the head with it. It's forgiven and it's gone, but he knows what he's doing, and he'll keep that thing over you forever, or at least give it a good try.
Yep.
And all the while, you had everything you needed to make the right choice. See, the ways of wisdom provide peace along your journey and pleasantness. It's fun. It's fun to do the right thing when you're doing it and you're engaged with folks who are doing the right thing and you're walking the right path. It is enjoyable. Verse 18. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. In this particular sense, she's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. This is one of the few times that the phrase tree of life is used in Scripture. It speaks of a spiritual fulfillment, if you will, that when you are engaged in a wise relationship with God and wise relationships in the way that you're handling your life and dealing with your life, that it brings a fulfillment in your relationship with God. Now think about it. It's one of the most horrible things that a Christian can go through is knowing that they're doing the wrong thing. It's agonizing. Now, a lot of people say, oh, they're just having so much fun and they're living it up and they're having their life and it's a great time. Look at them. How come God's not punishing them? Let me just tell you something. When they lay their head down at night, they do not enjoy what is going on in their life. They're miserable human beings. Why? Because they know. They're not of that world. They're not supposed to be engaged in this stuff, and they know it. So they lay their head down at night. And while you're wondering, man, they're so happy, I'm so miserable, they're going, they're so happy, and I'm so miserable. They want what you want, and you want what they want. Doesn't make any sense. It's because you and I we've lacked the wisdom, or maybe you lack the wisdom, to make the right choice. And the Bible says that happiness, the key to happiness, is to have wisdom. That the product of wisdom and the product of understanding is wisdom. So it brings us to this evening or this afternoon, that happiness is the result of executing and clinging to the wisdom we've drawn out from the Word of God. It's why you have these Bible quizzes. Look, there's a lot of things you can learn from Daniel's chapter. Is it Daniel chapter 1, verse 3? Chapter 2? It's half an hour past my nap time. When you get old, you have to take a nap. Chapters 1 through 6. For instance, those three were willing to die,
yeah,
but they weren't bowing down.
Right.
They weren't bowing down. Now, that we can learn something from that.
Amen.
The world's trying to get you to bow down all the time.
Right.
See, we have those things so that you can learn from them. So you say, in a situation where you're maybe having to decide whether you're going to give in or not, you can reflect back on the Word of God and say, you know what? God's going to take care of me just fine. I'm going to choose the right way. See, wisdom is nothing than more than taking what you know and applying it. That's what makes a 15-year-old kid look wiser than a 30-year-old man. Because maybe that 15-year-old young man is applying, or young lady is applying, what they've actually learned, and that 30-year-old man or lady is not applying what they've learned. You could honestly say at that moment that that 15-year-old man or that 15-year-old young lady, they are much wiser than that 30-year-old person. Because they're simply just taking what they've learned and applying it. You don't have to be 25, 35, 45, 55, 65 to be wise. You can be 15, 14, 13, or 12, 16, or 17, or 18 and be wise. But it's a matter of taking what you've learned in the pages of the Word of God at youth department or at youth activities or at a church where your pastor or your youth pastor is pouring themselves into your life and they're crying and they're pleading with you, and you can take what they're teaching from the Word of God and apply that. And you can be a wise young person. And happiness, the Bible says here, happy is the man. Listen, it's not a maybe, it's a fact. Happy is. This is the result of a person who finds wisdom and who finds understanding. But here's the deal, young people. It's not just going to happen. Wouldn't you love it if you could go to school and just go like this? And the subject that you're studying, English, I wish I could do this with English, just stick the book up to your head and go, got it. Wouldn't that be easy? Wouldn't you love that? Come on. Some of you are like, this guy's weird. I don't really know what to say. If you could, you know you would. You know it. I'm not dumb. I know. I'd still do it if I could do it. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Rubies and diamonds and emeralds and sapphires and all of those other gems, they don't just come up out of the ground on their own, do they? They have to be mined. You have to go into the earth and you have to dig. And by the way, you have to dig very delicately. You can't just go in there swinging a sledgehammer and a pickaxe, using a jackhammer into the side of the mountain. Otherwise, you'll destroy the diamonds. You have to be very careful, very meticulous about mining any sort of gem. Some gems are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars just by the ounce. And they say, I was watching this show, and it talked about this, about how valuable it was. Interesting at the time. I don't know. And they were saying that this guy grabbed, he had a diamond, a certain kind of diamond. It was this big, and it was worth $2.5 million. It was literally that big. And he went in to start shaping it, and he hit just wrong or just right, and the whole thing went. And in that second, it became worthless. $2.5 million. And because he wasn't using wisdom, and he took his eye off, he was unfocused for less than 2 seconds, boom, all of that wealth was gone. Now, that guy was ready to puke. He just lost $2.5 million. He bought the mine for 50 grand. He lost $2.5 million. Now, you say, this is kind of a worldly illustration. It works. Because what you have to understand is there is a tremendous amount of value in the pages of the Word of God. And doesn't the Bible say that you have to study to show thyself approved? You have to be very delicate and meticulous and very careful in the way that you study the Word of God. And then you've got to apply the necessary tools, the necessary things into your life so that you can use them so that they actually have value and that you just don't waste them. It's not enough to know. What you have to do is apply. You have to use these things in your life. And he goes on to say this, if you will, if I can go back to verse 13. He says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. To possess wisdom, just like going in and getting a diamond, you have to draw it out of the Word of God. Folks, the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of our Creator, the wisdom of God Himself is contained, are contained in the pages of the Word of God. And if you want wisdom, and you want real wisdom, and you want real happiness, and you want real satisfaction, then you've got to engage yourself in the mining of the Word of God. And then when that valuable chunk of gold, if you will, is brought out of the pages of the Word of God, by God Himself, you need to not just go, oh, well, that's cool. You need to go, I need to put that in my life right now. You need to learn to execute what the book says right now. Not later. Not, there's plenty of time for that when I'm out of high school, but right now. He goes on to say this. He says, not only is happiness something that you and I have to draw out of the Word of God, but verse 18, it's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Look, wisdom, knowledge only profits you and turns into wisdom when you actually use what you know. I'm convinced of this today, that it's not that young people are ignorant of the things of the Word of God. I don't buy it. I won't buy it. I don't believe it. I do not consider young people to be stupid. And to believe anything else is an insult to them. You're sharp young people. You're sharp. You are. You pick up things fast. Your mind is right. It's like a sponge right now. And you need to use it for the glory of God. And listen, if you're hearing this stuff but you're not executing it, it's doing you absolutely no good. If you had $1 million and you dug a hole and stuck in the hole, is it doing you any good? Come on, is it doing you any good? No, well, you got something more valuable than that. It's called the Word of God, and many of us bury it in our lives instead of using it. We've got this tool that will enhance our lives, make it better, make it clean, make it satisfying, make us content with where God has us, with what He's provided for us. It'll help our relationships with our parents. It'll help us in our relationships with our friends. It'll give us the right kind of mind and the right kind of thinking, and yet we bury it because something else is more important. Should I read my Bible? No, I'm going to get on Facebook. 7.5 hours later, we go, oh, it's midnight. It's time to go to bed. And off to bed we go. I'm not trying to be mean or rude. I'm just telling you, why couldn't you spend some of that time reading the Word of God and praying? Why couldn't you have been out at the church working or helping mom around the house or helping dad around the house or whatever? Why couldn't we be doing things that are profitable and things that God says are right and real and bring satisfaction to our life? And the last thing is this, that happiness is the product of a life lived in wisdom. Look what he says, not only verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, but verse 18 at the end says, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. How many of you want to have a happy life? Only 3-4 of you? That's what I love about teenagers. Like, I'm not sure if I should raise my hand. How many of you want to have a happy life? How many of you want to have a blessed life? Well, you can. I don't want to sound all Joel Osteen-ish on you, but it's brothers and sisters. I can't even smile. It hurts to smile like that. But I'm here to tell you, happiness is the product of wisdom. And wisdom is as easy as taking what the Word of God says, understanding it, and then applying it.
That's right. Amen.
But many of us will miss out on a happy life. I did not say a life without conflict. I said a happy life. I'm not going to lie to you. Conflict will come. It's just life. But it doesn't have to drag you.
Right.
You can still be happy and still have joy through all of it. The problem is that you and I don't use what we know. Is fire hot? Are you sure? Have you ever stuck your hand in fire? Was it a wise thing to do? Why? Why is it not wise to stick your hand in fire? Let me ask a sister. Why is it not wise to stick your hand in fire? Because it what? It burns. How many of you like to be burned? We do not like real burns, the ones that blister and peel and get all gooey. Some of you are like, oh, stop. Wisdom says don't stick your hand in the fire. Now, we know it's hot, and we know it can burn us, and some of us are still like, ooh. Right? And then we go, ow, that hurt. Sure. My wife goes, yeah, stupid, it's fire. So how come we're shocked when we play with sin and it burns us? We go, ow! How come that happened? Because it's sin, stupid. I know, that's mean, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. It's sin, and the Bible very clearly says that lust, when it conceives, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we're shocked when sin actually does what it's designed to do? Well, how do we stay away from that? The pages of the Word of God. This whole chapter, Proverbs chapter 3 and even Proverbs chapter 2, is written, and it says over and over in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto what? Wisdom. So what is he talking about? The commandments and the statutes of the Word of God. Incline our ears to those things. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law. Verse 11, chapter 3, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. All of this has to do with this, that you and I need to be, we need to pay attention and value what we have in the Word of God. I know, young people, I understand. I wish I could give you a glimpse, but I can't. I know it's hard to comprehend right now. And I don't want to, I want to be careful not to call you stupid because you're intelligent young people. But sin is so destructive. It just has a way, and you don't even know it until it's too late. It'll just eat you alive. And I'm not telling you you can't turn around from it. I also don't want you to, I don't want to make it sound like it's okay to play with it because it's not. It's not worth it. And the only way that you and I will ever refrain from dabbling with sin, playing with it like it's a piece of Play-Doh, and not being burned by it, is if we just stay away from it.
Yeah, right.
And the only way that you and I will ever effectively stay away from it is from the pages of this book.
That's right.
Digging the wisdom out of the Word of God. There are nuggets of wisdom from cover to cover. But we've got to dig. Everybody understand? It's not going to just happen. And if we dig out the gems of gold and the gems of silver and the gems of rubies and all those things, it will provide wisdom for us. And here's what the Bible says, you will be happy. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. If you continue in wisdom, in the end, you can look back and say, man, what a great life. But it'll never happen if we're not invested in the Word of God. We'll go practice at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we'll go hang out with our friends at the mall. And we'll go do all of those things. But we struggle to spend 20 minutes with our Lord and Savior. We fail to spend 20 minutes pleading before we leave the door, before we leave the house, pleading with Him to guide us and direct us. Because it's just too hard. I don't really have the time. But we do, don't we? We do. So we've got to be committed to digging the pages of the Word of God so that we have those nuggets of wisdom to live our life. And in the end, you'll be able to say, what a great life.